Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of a bitch, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to black people. This is your brother, comrade in arms, and a soldier in this battle, in this war with you. Sean Kwali, I'm broadcasting live by the grace of Almighty God and the Creator and the ancestors. See you once again from the hills and the smells of North America. And we're talking to you tonight as we always do from this platform that we call and consider Black Power Radio. Revolutionary radio designed to bring to you a revolutionary idea, an ideology that is geared towards the liberation and salvation of the black nation and black people. And our general, the five-star general who is on scene and who is crisscrossing America, giving the white man hell from the cradle to the grave in the spirit of the black power general, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. We send you black power greetings and peace greetings of Salaam Alaikum and Hotep and Shalom from our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is just fresh off of ripping up the church. He was at a church today in Jacksonville, Florida, and I'm telling you that the beast was livid. The beast was livid. If you read the Jacksonville Sentinel, the beast was livid. But we say all praise is due to the one true and living God to piss you devils off one more time, one more round, and one more instance. We are thankful that you hate the truth. As the man named Jesus in the Bible say, there's no truth in you. We're thankful that you hate the truth, and we know that there is no truth in you. And so we will continue to hurl the truth, and we will continue to rain truth at you until truth knocks out falsehood's brains. And so tonight we have to deal with the social evolution of hip-hop and the destruction of black youth, the social evolution of hip-hop and the destruction of black youth. And in one of our objectives of our program, we talk about developing and defending black youth. In one of our local objectives, we want to develop and defend our young black boys and our young black girls. And so it is wise to look at what is controlling the minds and the hearts and the responses of our youth today. Are they just like this, you know, were they born like this, or have our youth and have we as well been socially engineered, socially geared and engineered towards an idea and towards a practice, and many times now today a practice that promotes homosexuality where men are sleeping with men and women are laying down with women, or that you don't see the black family unit. You don't see the strong black male image. You don't see the positive, powerful black queen or black woman image. You don't see it anymore. And so we have to tonight go into, have we been socially engineered to be in the position or the condition that we're in today? And if we agree that we have, some of you may not, but if we do agree that we have been socially engineered to be in the condition that we're in, what do we do to fight the condition that we're in? What is our role and our responsibility in this condition and position? And what is the role and responsibility of the artist? What is the role and responsibility of the poet? What is the role and responsibility of the script writer, the movie director? What is the roles of the producers? What is the beat maker's role? What is the role of those who put these products together that our youth and our culture and our people are now taking in wholesale 24 hours a day and 7 days a week? Should we allow the rap artists of the mainstream medias and the mainstream labels, should we allow them to promote the violence and promote the filth and promote the all of that they promote without any response? Or should we, you know, give them some kind of response? What should our response be? And how can we effectively sway their opinion or sway the stream that the quote-unquote mainstream is going in? We want to answer all of these questions tonight. And so we're privileged and honored to be joined by a man who I will personally attest to and say he's a soldier. One who, you know, I believe that the Panther runs through his veins, that the spirit of course, Stokely Carmichael, later Kwame Ture and Willie Ricks, Mukasa Ricks, and Minister Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale, and now the Black Power General, Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad, and our National Chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. I would say that the spirit of those men and even our sisters who have struggled, it runs through his veins. It runs through his veins. And so we're honored to be joined tonight. And he's going to tell you about himself before he gets into it. He's going to tell you about himself. We're honored to be joined by our dear brother, Viva Fidel. And also for those listening, the show will also be archived. There will be a longer edition, longer audio and longer question and answer session in the archive version. So if you don't happen to catch it live on the air, be sure to go right back to the archive and catch it all, because we're going to dig off into it. So we're bringing our brother on right now, our dear brother Viva Fidel, Black Power and Peace and Blessings, brother.
Peace and blessings, brother. Black Power, peace to the family that's listening out there in the world. How you doing tonight, G?
Hey, G, I'm doing well. I'm doing, as we say, black-tastic, fantastic. I'm all right. How are you, sir?
Hey, man, I'm great, and I'm glad that you got me on the show. I appreciate it, and, man, I'm always excited to talk and build with the people, and, man, you caught me at a good time, so let's go.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, before we get far off into it, kind of give the audience a background on you. How did you get involved with the movement? You know, what was your upbringing? You know, where you're from? Who is Viva Fidel?
Word. To start it out, I'm born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I was born and raised by a very active family, active in the local social arena and even global arena, but organizing locally around global issues. I was young in the household, you know, seeing meetings in the living room, seeing fundraisers in the kitchen, on the back porch, and, you know, all kind of different people, all kind of different families coming through my home. Because my home was one of the central homes and central organizing points of a lot of things going on, which I didn't really totally grasp until, of course, later on. And I recognized some of the works that my parents were into locally, in regards to the school system, in regards to local politics, neighborhood politics, so on and so forth, and then internationally, with things like apartheid and things like even back then, like workers' rights and even prisoner rights and things like that, and just a real strong conversation about justice, real strong conversation about accountability, and even just total organizing, like the word organizes real strong in my family. So I was touched by everything that comes along with that, the knowledge, the information, the books, the literature, the newspaper, and the art, and of course the music, the soundtrack to all of that. You know, it was there just as well as everything else was there. The music was there, and that was a big part of what made those gatherings and those movements and those meetings and that momentum was a big part of what made it memorable even still to this day, is the soundtrack. And so just learning a lot about music at an early age, going through records, going through music, going through 8 tracks and tapes and everything. My father, of course, had crazy library, still to this day, crazy library of books and music and records, you know. So I grew up in that kind of environment, like along with the politics and a heavy conversation about like self-education and creativity. You know, there was all this archives around me of magazines and books and music and everything like that. So I really understood significance behind the beat and behind the imagery that go along with the beat even at an early age. And so, you know, naturally when, you know, hip-hop started to take its course, you know, the people in my neighborhood, the older brothers in my family, my uncles and brothers and sisters and cousins and so on and so forth, you know, that was older, you know, it started trickling down. We started getting into the breakdancing and the graffiti art, and we started, you know, really adapting to this culture and to this, you know, understanding, which was new to the world, I guess you could say. Well, it was new to us. Of course, it wasn't new to the world at that time. We're in the Midwest, so of course we was probably late as, you know, we was late in the game, but it was new to us, and it was new to a lot of people that we were able to expose it to. So throughout the years of growing up, you know, I started to be self-expressive and self-creative and creating those pieces of graffiti artwork, you know, creating those b-boy routines, you know, led to creating those rhymes and so on and so forth, and being a go ever since, just being able to put out our material. Now we produce films, DVDs as well, and we've created a lot of different merchandising and events and kind of promotional marketing outreach and things that stem from that same creative mind of the music. And now we're able to get into different ways of teaching and different ways of sharing these resources, sharing these experiences that we've accumulated over the years, not only through the music, but like I said, all the way through the background understanding, the background understanding of organizing. So that comes along with any business or any organization, your posse, your crew, your clique, whatever, you, so on and so forth, which, you know, of course, evolves as you get older, evolves as you get wiser into more of a business mind frame, into more of what you see hip-hop as now, your hottest artist your most popular artist is an entrepreneur in his own right by many rights. You know, it's clothing lines every other day, it's restaurants, TV shows, movies, companies, this, that, and the third, liquor companies, so on and so forth. So the example that goes and the connotation that comes along with a hip-hop artist now is synonymous with a business, an organizational structure, so on and so forth. So that comes along with kind of like the evolution of what hip-hop has gone into. So, you know, now on that business level, and then also on the give-back level, okay, a lot of artists, they might have had a lot of money or had a lot of fame or whatever, what have you, and then it comes to a point where they want to give back. Well, like I said, you know, being rooted where I'm from, that was always part of the circle. You always give back. You always get what you give. You always make sure that you're taking care of those that's taking care of you and past and present and future, so on and so forth. So being able to now utilize the same organizational skills to outreach to young people, organizing around hip-hop, but also organizing around areas in the community, just youth leadership in general. So I've been blessed, I should say, to be able to teach and to educate, to share my film and my music in academic settings, in different universities, different schools, different community centers, to create a conversation that will redefine and will start to help to balance and counterattack some of the other stereotypes and things that people are forced fed with in the media, as you know, sort of alluded to in the opening. So I know I'm just kind of rambling along, and I'm going on, but Viva Fidel is a weapon. It's a major idea worldwide, and it's not just about me as an artist, but it's more so about the action behind that artwork, the action behind that song. You understand? So, or, you know, it could be that uniform. It could be that, you know, it could be anything that's visually represented and that's tangible and that's felt. You understand? So it's a bigger concept, and it's a lot that come along with it. And so, like I said, you caught me at a good time, G.
Yes, sir. Tell us a little bit about your Panther roots, your Panther history. Because
wow.
Some people don't believe that it's okay to be revolutionary and be a rapper. So kind of tell us your background with the Panther and how that's influencing what you do.
Yes, indeed. And like I said, it's been a long time as far as the evolution of, because, you know, certain things I didn't learn about it until later, but it's certain things that you might already be a part of, you might already be in the process of, you might already be doing it, and you learn about it later. You might get in the car with one of your homeboys, and they got a whole other plan, and you just thought you was getting a ride to the grocery store or something, and it's a whole other thing going on. Well, you know, I was already into things that I didn't even really understand at a young age. Officially, we can say, publicly, in Milwaukee, everybody in Milwaukee, I should say, is aware that there was a organization that was started or restarted by Commander Michael McGee in Milwaukee. That was basically a call to action, and it was an urgent call to action, an emergency call to action that was heard across the world, because he was reactivating the Milwaukee chapter of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, which was renamed the Black Panther Militia. And the Black Panther Militia was set in place to become a sort of a response vehicle for the people that's already in place. A lot of the older heads, the older guard that's still here today, that's still got their Panther jacket and beret in the closet, so to speak. And so and their sons and daughters and nephews and nieces and so on and so forth. So there's a strong root here in the city, and always has been, of Panthers. And so at a very young age, as a young teenager, the Panther headquarters was a couple blocks away from where I live. So it was a natural process. The whole building was red, black, and green, and it was a community building that was set in place that created a lot of different things that are still in place. Community programs from, you know, the same script from the old school all the way on to, you know, some updated things. So it was a natural process to be able to start to be more curious and say, well, that's right here. That ain't back then. This brother, this OG right here saying, oh, the Black Panther Party self-defense is about to be reenacted due to the situations and circumstances, conditions in the city where we live in, so on and so forth. And to hear that and to see that as a young man and already know what it was, I already knew what it was, I already knew what time it was, because I was already a part of it. I was already a part of the programs, quote unquote, you know, so to speak, you know what I mean? It's like what it's known as, feeding the people and simple things like taking the old ladies back and forth to the grocery store in the neighborhood and so on and so forth, feeding the people on your block that don't have food, so on and so forth. And so that my family was always a part of that, so I was always naturally just, you know, a part of that and spreading information, the propaganda, so on and so forth. So, It was a progression that, you know, naturally I started to learn about. And then later on, you know, we were old enough to become a voice. We were old enough to become and aware enough to become connected on a level where we could be a voice on a musical level for the movement that was being sparked off here in the city, because that's what we were already doing. We were already making movement music. We already had an album called Sons of Malcolm. We already had an outfit that was totally against the grain and totally going revolutionary, X-Clan, Poor Righteous Teacher, Public Enemy style, mixed with some Ice-T and so on and so forth. So we was already on that mind frame. So naturally, once we linked officially within the ranks of the militia here, it was natural that we would become, you know, the musical spokesperson piece to attract the young people and to bring that commonality, understanding, bridge the gap, because even the elders understood early, you know, that it, this was only an extension of what they was already doing, you know, and we weren't doing nothing slick to a lot of the elders around us, you know, as far as rapping and freestyle and so on and so forth go. You know, that wasn't nothing slick. That was more so of an extension of what they was already doing, and we understood that from, you know, the Last Poets and Gil Scott and so on and so forth.
Yes, sir. Well, how is, let me say this, that when the history is said and written, Michael McGee, our comrade Michael McGee, has a large, large part to play in whatever the new Black Panther Party does. I just want to say that officially for the record, just so that's out
right
there in the open. But how is comrade Michael McGee and his family? Have you heard anything about it? His case?
Yes,
or,
I'm glad you asked, brother. Yes, I'm glad you asked. The family is very well, and the father and the son is very well. You know, it's always a good time and a good sign when you have the new generations popping up. You see the youngers popping up, the juniors popping up, the third generations popping up. So the family is great and growing. And, you know, I definitely give a revolutionary salute to the family on behalf of the party and on behalf of yourself, and let them know that you shout them out and thinking about them on that level, that, you know, letting the history reflect and letting every, you know, but, and you know what, we don't even feel like that because we understand already that exactly what you said, it will reflect it regardless. So a lot of people do know and respect, and we, you know, are in a position here in the city where we also respecting the privacy of the commander. We also respecting the ability to relieve the commander and his family from being on the front line for, you know, his whole life, to be able to pick up that torch and keep that torch, you know, on high fire.
Yes, sir. Loud and clear. Listen, like I said, please send our greetings on behalf of Dr. Antonio Malik Zulu Shabazz, new Black Panther Party, and myself. Let's switch some gears here. Now, we're talking about the social evolution of hip hop. Where do you see today's music, and where do you think that it should go?
That's another great question, G. It's man, you know, I usually throw that question right back at people because I get that question a lot, and I speak a lot in a lot of different places and on a lot of different panels and so on and so forth. And you know, it's a great question, and to me, it's always a reflective question because, you know, even as an artist, in my artist mind, You know, I'm reflecting off of what the people vibe with, you know, and then as an organizer, I'm reflecting off of how the people respond. And so it's always a reflective answer to that question, because we gotta keep that conversation going, because it bounces back and forth. It's about what we going to do and what we going to be able to build. And where it's at, honestly, where we're seeing it going is on that level of being able to communicate and out loud and out proud say, as you said, you know, as a revolutionary artist, you know, a lot of people who came up on this revolutionary culture of hip-hop are now professionals and doctors and lawyers and engineers and scientists and astronauts you know, all sort of biochemists and so on and so forth. I know a lot of them personally myself. And so, you know, it's a different mind frame to understand that, you know, it's not boxed in to a small segment of our people, our young black men or anything like that anymore at all. It's something that's taken over on a global level. You know, no matter what language you speak practically, no matter what country you go to practically, you're going to see the elements and you're going to understand how we untouched the whole planet through this thing that, you know, sometimes we even box in ourselves. We get caught up in the matrix a little bit, and we forget you know, that when we was worldwide and our culture and the things we spread in our artwork, it been worldwide. So why wouldn't hip hop be worldwide with the technology and so on and so forth? It's amazing, and so the awareness of that is gonna be definitely more prevalent, you know, to us, you know, and I'm part of making sure that. I'm going to make sure that people know that hip-hop is in the classrooms, you know, I could probably, if I sit and think about it, I could probably count like 30, 40 brothers I know personally, you know, that revolutionary thinkers. They in the schools, they in the community centers, they heavy off into that, been doing it for years, so on and so forth, and, you know, that's the hip-hop that we speak up for, so to speak. You know, we don't speak down on nobody else. We just speak on what we on, and we keep pushing on what we on and making sure that that's represented and that is, you know, defined in that way, and so we can help to define it in that way for our babies. That's what it's about. It ain't even about us and what we doing and so on and so forth. It's about being able to create that definition for the ones that's watching what we doing. So it's a reflective thing, and so, you know, it's a process. It's a process for sure.
Why do you think that the music has taken the turn that it's taken, though?
Well, it ain't really took too much of a turn from where I'm sitting. Straight up, it's always been, you know, the yin and the yang. It's always been different dynamics of what life is and what the expressions of art is in those ways. It's always been that. It's different extremes, but yeah, that's not exclusive to music now. So it's just different extremes. It's the times that we in as far as the extremes, because we have a lot of, you know, it's kind of like what they say, like, ain't nothing new under the sun, because everybody trying to figure out something new to show and prove, because you know, seen it all. It's like, you know, nothing amazes you no more. It's like you can see something in the music or hear something and it won't even amaze you, because you'd be like, damn, I done heard it all, because you heard it before. You just heard a different variation of it. No matter how crazy you think it is, no matter how degrading or whatever, you done heard it before. We all done heard it before. Our parents heard it before. Goddamn hip-hop was even here. So, you know, it ain't nothing new on that level.
So, who are some of the people that you listen to when you're riding and you're rolling? Who are some of the people that you bump?
You know, today I just got my good fix. I got the new Tyler today. I ain't listening to none of this yet. I got the new Tyler today. I got the new Large Professor today, and I got some Madlib. It's all like, you know, random. What else I got in there? I got some good stuff. I got some good local stuff in there. Some Milwaukee music up in there. Oh man, because I just reloved it too. I got Sugar Free up in there. I got some Guru up in there. Yeah, so I got a few things up in there. I got some Dog Pound in there. it's you know, I keep it moving, man, as far as that goes, as far as hip hop go. But then also, you know, I listen to a lot of music, man, like a lot of independent music, a lot of underground music, a lot of stuff that, you know, people send me or that I get on the road or so on and so forth. You know, I actually try to listen to it. I try to vibe with it and see, you know, see where the people at, and listen to what's going on the streets. And, you know, I'm a journalist as well, so I don't even just listen to it just for the sake of, you know, just music. But I kind of, you know, it's a part of really understanding the direction of the culture, especially as regional as hip-hop is. You know, it ain't what, you know, in Milwaukee, it ain't the same as it is maybe in Baltimore. But then there's the same way, and in the same time, the same breath, it's so much that's the same. But, you know, the lifestyle and the culture may be direct opposite, but at the same time, it's just the same. And people say the conditions is just the same. And people say the housing or the schools or whatever, that is just the same, which obviously going to create, you know, some of the same movements amongst the people. So, you know, it's good to listen to music on the ground where I'm at. I always ask who's who, what's what. Let me get this, let me get that. Let me find out who's, you know, putting in work, so on and so forth. We also do promotions as a service for artists, for artist development, so on and so forth. So I'm going to show my contact right quick, too. It's vivafidelpromo@gmail.com. People can reach out. I'm available for a lot of different things, and we can build. You know, that's what I want to do. I want to link up with like minds and make some things happen. That's vivafidelpromo@gmail.com.
So give some, because I know we have a lot of artists that are listening right now. Do you recommend that the artist shop their demos for deals? Do you recommend that the artist go independent? What's your take on that?
Well, I don't think there's like, well, what's my take on it? I think that artists should actually kind of plant their feet in their artistry. You know, a lot of artists, they look at it like an external thing and what's had to happen, you know, externally, what somebody else got to do or what something else had to happen for their situation or so on and so forth. They should start reversing that a little bit and start looking at it from within and say, okay, what can I do to really further what my goal is? And so, you know, that comes with a certain kind of determination behind knowing what you're doing and really believing what you're doing, so to speak, you know. And that's true what people always say, you know, that old cliche, people always say, you know, if you believe you can achieve it, so on and so forth. You know, people have to really take what they're doing seriously to the point where they can stand on it and stand in it, you know, through thick and through thin, and whether the time or the sacrifice or the energy that it takes to reach their goals. And, you know, a lot of times, okay, if that's their goals, then, hey, that's your goal. And go ahead and, you know, do what has to be done to meet that goal. So I just think being clear, you know, from within first is that's just what I offer.
Yes, sir. And so I know that you push a lot of units and CDs yourself. You and your team. I'm not gonna just say you. I gotta give shouts out to the Guerrilla Promo team.
That's right.
But for those that are up and coming, what's some advice that you would give them that are trying to get their music out there, get the message out there, or get heard?
Well, I would definitely say unite. I would say organize with like minds. You know, get with people in your area that you think will be helpful to your situation, depending on what you may need and how you may be able to help them, not just by them helping you, but how, you know, how it could be a good partnership amongst, you know, different organizations, different groups of people, different crews, different companies, so on and so forth. Partnerships is a big thing. And then also making sure that there's a plan to travel. You know, people have to understand that it's a huge world, and yeah, you can move around on the internet, and you can definitely network and social network and so on and so forth. But, you know, we have to definitely not be scared to get up and get out and get something. So, you know, I would definitely tell the young artists to, you know, start looking into those things. We have a showcase that we do in Milwaukee weekly for artists, up and coming indie, hip hop, R&B, different people that travel throughout the Midwest, or they might be doing Minnesota, Chicago, Detroit, so on and so forth. They can come through and come build, come plant some seeds in this area and start to promote in this area and so on and so forth. So it's a process that, you know, it takes, and it's not rocket science, but there is kind of a method of groundwork that has to be done for people to kind of get the results that they really, you know, sometimes be wanting overnight, but that's kind of how it's sold to them. So, you know, you can't blame them for it, you know, you can't really blame them for it in this era, in this day, you know, it's all kind of like quick gratification and stuff. But, you know, I would just think that artists, you know, if they're true artists and if they're true to their art, then it's an investment, and it's just a matter of, you know, what you meant to do as far as, you know, the love for what you're doing. So if they don't love what they're doing, if they don't, you know, and that goes across the board, you already know, if there's no love or passion for organizing, if there's no love or passion for being able to build or being able to do service for your people, whether you're getting paid or not, whether you're getting credit or not, whether you're getting spotlight or not, whether you're getting interviewed or not, none of that shit matters. You understand? If you have what in your heart, you know, if you have that passion in your heart that it takes to really get to the outcome that you want to get to, you know, and that's how we roll and what we're doing. So even in the music, entertainment, I should say, because music is multimedia now. So if you know, and most artists serious, they already on that path. They already on a multimedia path if they serious about what they're doing, which is great. If they serious about what they're doing at this point, then they already on the self-determined media path. Multimedia path. They already doing their own videos. They already doing their own website distribution, packaging, manufacturing, merchandising. They already doing that for themselves. If they really own motivated by what they're doing, because that's the era we in. You understand? So it's a great time for artists. So it's not necessarily anything that, you know, artists should be kind of stuck about right now. It's just a great creative time if artists are serious about, you know, like I said, the passion behind what they're doing. And I say artists and art, no, I use those words loosely right now. Trust me, I'm just, you know, just kind of just talking right quick.
Understood. I want you to kind of give us some background on the song we're going to play. It's called Never Always. What was the inspiration with that song, and how did it come about?
I'm gonna give you the they say the names, you know, been changed to protect the innocent. I'm gonna give you that version. I'm gonna say that, you know, some people, they you know, you might communicate with people and they say, just say somebody might say about other people, they say, man, they always this, or he always this, or he never that. They never, you never, 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 and always. It's some strong-ass words, right? And so never and always, you know, sometimes when you just put that on a person and you be like, you know, that's heavy. You just say, I never, ever, ever, or I always, that's heavy. So that's where it came from, actually, and it kind of grew out of a spoken word piece, actually, and then it turned into a song, and it turned into a couple verses, and it turned into a mantra, if you will, just saying, never surrender, always remember. You know, that's just a balance that, you know, we have our nevers and we have our always, but one thing we're going to do, we're going to never surrender and we're going to always remember. So I'll define those and keep those, at, you know, I'll make those finite. But other things, you got to be careful how you just cut them off at never and always. But certain things, you got to establish as never or always. That's just a little bit of the background.
Yes, sir. Here we go, finally, exclusive for Black Power Radio. This is our brother and comrade, Viva Fidel, with Never Always.
This is the G-Town.
Straight off the dome, did you so release therapy? A moment of clarity when I recite in silence, psychologically violent. Let me tell you about the life I live, a mastermind, past the concept of time, rhyming shit on pages, archived and aging, and scribbled out on pages, the days of my life. Share without fear for the world to hear. The word is a weapon, the message is clear. Execute your vision, step up your bigger mission. This is all a mission, it's time to take you higher. I help you get through the fire, I got something to inspire. The ones that I love, even the few that hate. It's just a test of faith, keep your head on straight. Don't ever turn your back, it's going down. All just like that, never forget. Always
Black Panthers of Self-Defense.
Well, we salute Virginia, Norfolk, all our folks out there, Richmond. We definitely understand already. We got y'all back, and we understand already. Y'all got our back. All right, we're going through the same thing. So, you know, music is one of the ways that we got to communicate. That song is available for a free download. It's a video available, too. And my brother, my comrade, JG from G-Sound Music, he produced that project, and it's on my YouTube page, which is Viva Fidel TV on YouTube.com/ViveFidelTV. You can find the visual. You can see the video. It's kind of a history lesson. I even use that to teach and connect the dots somewhat, because we talk about how when hip-hop, you know, first was kind of really getting big and getting introduced, it was connecting us to what even our parents' music, you know, through the samples and through the visuals that we've seen in the albums and the music and the artwork and the T-shirts, and everything was about making that connection. And so it's still there, and we just have to remember to look for it. We have to just remember.